I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Today on What It Takes, we're talking with someone who brings heart, leadership, and a sharp eye for design to every blueprint he touches. Justin Tollefson is principal at Pearson Design Group, an award-winning architecture firm based in Bozeman, Montana. He's not only helping design stunning, story-driven spaces across the country, but he's also steering the ship behind the scenes, balancing creative vision with the business leadership, team development, and client experience. A second-generation architect, Justin's journey at PDG started back in 2004, and he's worn just about every hat since: designer, marketer, team builder, and strategist. So today we're diving into what it takes to lead a creative business like his. The wins, the lessons, the team dynamics, the human side of running a firm that creates spaces people truly connect with. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jamie. Good to be here.
So you've been part of Pearson Design Group for over 20 years. How has your leadership style evolved, like your team growth and changes that happen along with that? Tell me about that.
I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing is it's probably true to anybody who ages, but you know, when you're younger, especially when you're a younger designer or architect, I think you're trying to prove yourself a lot, and maybe you're competing with other ideas a lot, and it feels more like you're trying to prove it. And the older I get, the more I've realized it's something a little bit different in how I think about leadership and even how I think about design. That's a little bit more about listening and synthesizing and iterating, and it's a more subtle thing. And so that's both for design and for maybe how I think about leadership.
That's really, really good. What are the values or like non-negotiables that guide how you build and lead your team?
Well, I think, you know, we build our teams, or we build our office, you know, essentially on creativity. So our firm has always been that. We're a very creative firm. We do custom residential architecture and interior design. So there's no real reuse. There's no real pattern necessary. So every custom home is a custom commission, and in our case, for a family. So it's a very creative environment, and we need everybody here to sort of recognize that, because of course you can want to design a cool building or a cool space, but if you lose sight that it's also a creative endeavor for a family and people, I think that's the other thing. So that I would say creativity, and then really, really recognizing we're doing this for families, for people to live in.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, because if your main thing is you're approaching like your teams and all that with creativity in mind, how do you balance like that with accountability and have both of them thrive side by side?
It's hard to manage the design process, or at least people think that, but you have to try. And so if design is our industry and design is how we think, it doesn't mean you just don't try to, you still have to try to manage the process and manage yourself, because there are 15 other people involved. There are 3 other people with voices that really matter, you know, your clients. And so you have to try. And I think for us, the way we do it, we're not really like a pyramid kind of structure, but we have senior people who have been doing it longer, and we have younger people who are a year or two out of school. And I think that nature in and of itself, kind of the group nature, it forces you to just manage how you work together. And we pay attention then how we in turn, you know, manage our output to our clients and to all the people we work with.
That's really good. What about like once they're in to be able to like hold that accountable piece, because you're working with a team, but what about like on the beginning end of it? Like hiring is always a challenge anyway, but if you're identifying people who like value the creative and like that's really what you're leading with, how do you know that that talent fits your firm's creative work or culture, but also the work ethic?
You kind of don't. I think
that's so honest. I love that. Thank you for saying that. Okay, expand.
The fun part about architecture is I think it's somewhat unique. Every young person you meet coming out of school is, they're lit, you know, they're energetic. They've been dreaming of this. They've been thinking about being an architect. Everyone has a story about high school art or drafting or some moment in their life. So people are all very, very interesting. They're all very, very smart. People are coming out of 5, 6, 7 years of, you know, secondary education. So everybody always looks like a great candidate, and they are. They're smart people. Usually when they hit the business world, though, that's the big change for them is it's no longer the dream. There's a commission, there's a client, there's a reality, there's a budget, and there's someone else maybe designing the building, and they have to fit in. So the hard part is seeing that. And so you're really just trying to judge people's character. We know people are going to be smart. You never know how quickly they kind of step into the other part of architectural practice, because you get a little bit of that in school and people intern here and there, but you really get hit with it when you get your first job and see the realities of what you do day to day. And for some people, they don't enjoy that. And so they maybe bounce around or they change their mind, and, you know, other people find their pattern within a firm or within the industry. And that is that as they find themselves and as they find their skill, you really know if you're a good fit for each other.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. And I think the biggest takeaway point for me is that you hire for character. And I think we share in that philosophy as well. And how do you bring someone onto the team then? What do you look for beyond just like their resume or portfolio when you're trying to assess their character?
I mean, I'm always looking for honesty. If you can see it, you know, so it's, you know, there's just, like, I guess you said character, energy. And of course, we have the reality too, where we're also looking for like some software knowledge base. That's really the unfortunate thing for everybody. And is there are things that we expect young architects to do that they have never been formally trained on, other than maybe a course or two, and they kind of pick it up on their own. So I really think our attitude when we're hiring and what I look for are traits that I know are, we're going to train them. They're going to learn how to run Revit from our other staff. They're going to learn about how we design by being in the building with us. So you're just kind of looking for the other intangibles that, you know, they'll be there and they'll work hard and they can be part of the group.
Well, that's a really good perspective to have, because I know just personally from working with a lot of clients in the industry, you can say that you know Revit, but actually doing it is a whole different ball game. And we've hired on people that have said, oh yeah, no problem. And they were at the very beginner level, where they ranked themselves on an assessment as like a 7 or 8 in knowledge base expertise. They're like maybe a 1 or 2. And we were just like, how did you get that? Well, because they were like the top of their class and they were able to do, you know, whatever, but actually going in and running it on a day-to-day is a really big thing. So I like that mentality of, hey, we're going to hire for who you are and we're going to train you up on what we do, because that's a philosophy that I don't know that a lot of business owners or just companies in general share. So that's huge. What's been your biggest lesson when it comes to managing people? Like, what's something that you're still working on as a leader maybe?
I don't know. I feel like I just hope I can get good people to be patient. I think it's kind of one of my own patterns in my own career. And I want young people to be patient. So just like coming into your job and being new to practice, it takes some time for your voice to be heard. It takes some time for you to get in a position where you can influence a project. And it takes a long time if you want to, you know, be part of a business. And so I think the people that I've really liked working with over the years, I always hope they're patient enough to stick around. Our projects take a year to design, not literally, but it seems to take about that long, and 2 years plus to build. So it's a 3-year endeavor to complete one project. And so if you're a young person, to do 2 projects, that could be twice as long as it took you to get through school or something. And so they've got to really be patient. And if they are, you know, they tend to end up in a position in the career that's, I think, more profound and more meaningful than for them if they're patient and they stay put and they see through some projects rather than kind of resume jump around.
Yeah, that's a really good observation, like on a, and I think just as a culture, we're very much instant gratification, and it's becoming more instant means so much different than it did when I was growing up, you know, and even as my kids have grown up, now instant gratification is literally instant, whereas probably 10, 20 years ago, instant was, you know, much longer than immediate. Instant meant something else to us. So I think when we're talking about one thing lasting 2 to 3 years, that's incomprehensible, I think, to some people who are just breaking into an industry or starting a career, right? So that's a really good observation. Can you talk about a time when you've had to maybe make a tough HR decision when it came to that? Maybe it was related to that or maybe not. Like, how did you handle it? And maybe some like key learning points along the way, or as maybe you're still learning based on the look I see on your face.
We are. Our firm is, we have 17 people on staff right now, and that's pretty typical. Sometimes we ebb and flow a little bit higher, but we're always between 17, 20, 22 people, something like that. So HR is hard because we're not quite big enough that like we have a person that just does that and that's their specialty. So I think when we have HR issues, they're actually never really about that. They're never really about architecture and patience and capacity. It's usually something more unpredictable.
Absolutely. Anything specific come to mind? You look like you're thinking of a very specific incident.
I don't have a specific one that I think it's probably it's related to what I said. If people are patient, they're more patient, not only in how they're approaching their career, they're patient in how they handle a particular circumstance. And so, you know, it's easy to say as an owner of the company, but, you know, you just hope people don't get hung up on small things.
Sure.
And we feel so fortunate because we get to do really amazing things and design buildings and homes, and that's super fun. And so anytime I'm not meeting with a client and working on a design and talking with people about this amazing thing we're creating, it's a drag. And so I think more than other professions, we get really bummed out when we don't get to do what we're supposed to be doing on any given day.
Well, that's also a really good point, because you got into this because you love what you do. You're in it as a designer. So in a people first business, if you're not working with clients or you're not working on a project, how do you support your team growth, like professionally, personally, when that's really not, you know, nobody trained you how to do that? You don't, when you go into school and you're focusing on architecture and design, they're not putting you through, you know, leadership and team building and how to help your, you know, how to help your young ones grow and mentoring and all that kind of stuff. That's just something that you have to figure out on your own on the job. So how do you support that?
Well, I think, to be honest, I feel like I'm still learning how to lead, and we talk a lot about in the office, like, are we really being good mentors, like myself and my other business partners, because it's not always obvious how to do it. I think honestly what we've become here is we really are a group as a brand. Our firm started as a sole proprietorship founded by Larry Pearson. And in 2007, I think, I became, you know, a shareholder in the company as well as a few others. And that's when we became the Pearson Design Group. And I think for my design firm, it's kind of a meaningful moment to actually start to think about yourself as a group. And so here we are, you know, whatever that is, 15 years later, 20 years later, we're getting to be really a group of people that operate really organically. You know, we have people in their, you know, mid to late 20s up to, you know, people that have been here for, you know, 20 plus years. And we just all bring something different. And so I sort of feel like the leadership kind of just emerges as we do things together, and it's very organic for us because we're small, because we're navigating design, I think.
And because you're not by yourself doing it, you've got a team, which is, I think, something that we see clients or businesses that we work with that have a really good partnership or a group like you guys do. It makes it seem just easier to be able to kind of lean on each other in that. And so that was actually like a question when you were talking about all those things. My question was, how do you balance the pressures of the client demand, the business growth, and still investing that time into your own people? But I mean, I think I know what you're going to say just based on your answer. That's just what I was thinking. But talk to me about how you personally approach that balance.
Well, I guess I try not to undervalue the alternate side to the creative process. So I think to me, the balance is maybe I probably lean more heavy into non-design issues in the firm because I've always seen the need. I've always seen design. I'm not going to say design's easy, but it kind of is. Like we can come up with ideas and we can design buildings. That's not the hard part. I mean, it's not easy to be good at it, and it's even harder to be great at it, but we can do it. And so the harder part is what you're asking about. I think it's just making sure you're actually spending more time on the thing that's harder. So listening to your clients, listening to your consultants, synthesizing people's opinions and information. And I think I've said it before, patience, the patience of iterating it. And that's what you need to just lean into more and more, I think.
That's really good wisdom. As you look toward the future, what are you most excited about when it comes to developing your next generation of design leaders at PDG?
I think the most interesting thing we're looking for, and it's not just me, it's any young person, I think, this day and age. We're looking for things we haven't done yet, which specifically would be, I think, even more energy and emphasis into sustainable practice and sustainable construction. We're around it. We integrate it into our projects, but we're still looking for that dream client that, you know, wants the off-grid house or wants to push it a little further. And we really start thinking and tracking about other things in architecture that we don't get to do as much as we'd like. So I would say it's in the field and of sustainable practice is where we're wanting to be more.
Yeah, that's great. That's good to hear too. Well, before we let you go, we always ask our guests this one final question. What does it take to be a business owner in this day and age?
Well, I mean, I think I don't want to repeat myself, but I think it's balance, you know, in the design industry, we're talking about balancing design versus management. But I think balancing things that seem unmanageable, you know, with management, not shying away from the things that aren't the fun part and aren't the creative part. Usually if you pay attention to them, they kind of open up the means to do more of the fun part. So I think it's kind of very patient, calm balance.
That's really good. Justin, thank you so much for being here. It's been awesome hearing about how you lead with both strategy and soul. Like, I feel like there's both that person piece and also like very, but it sounds very intentional as well. So I love that your perspective on team culture stood out to me, the business of design, staying creatively grounded, also something that a lot of listeners I think would take to heart, and leading with that creativity when looking to build your team. That was awesome. But if people are looking to find you, how can you be found?
Well, our firm can be found on Instagram quite easily at Pearson Design Group. And our website is the same, pearsondesigngroup.com. And you can reach me by submitting an inquiry on our Contact Us tab. I field them all, from vendors to potential clients to anybody with a question on what it takes.
Oh, wow. So, yep, there you go. You're the one getting all those. So you'll reach him directly if you do that. And obviously, probably social as well. We can put that in our show notes. But that's a wrap on this episode of What It Takes. Be sure to follow Pearson Design Group on social or on their website. See some of their stunning work and stay tuned for more conversations with the people building bold businesses from the inside out. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.